throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We've finally done it, Jared.
What did we do?
We finally tagged you're it, head coach Zach Maynard. It felt like a game of phone tag there for a little bit. But finally tag, he's it. He'll be here in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. And we'll get his vision, introduce him to everybody.
Something could come up between now and then.
Let's be careful here. I mean, I had him nailed down for last Friday, and then I wasn't here. Lots of different things. But we're going to hear from head coach Zach Maynard. He's going to be in the house talking to us about his vision for Elk City football. I can't wait because I heard him speak just a little bit at the banquet, the after-the-season banquet, and he almost had me of all people, jumping up.
That's what you want.
Jumping up, even considering running through a brick wall.
Yes.
Which, for me to do that, it's a pretty amazing feat, just to even consider it. So there's no telling what he can get anywhere from 15 to 18-year-old kids talked into doing. It'll be a fun conversation. We'll meet him, introduce him to all the folks out there listening. I think we got to hit some high school basketball, and also I'm going to make you the sports czar. Here at the top of the show.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to make you the sports czar, and I want you to determine NFL overtime rules. If it was on your plate, what would you do? Hmm. And it doesn't matter if anybody comes back with a different idea. This is what's happening. I'm Jared. I'm the sports czar. Here's the new or same overtime rules in the NFL.
Okay.
I want to hear everybody else's thoughts about that. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com, download the Paragon app. The app has all kinds of goodies. Three radio stations, Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. ThePennyNews.com. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV on the air tonight. All kinds of hoop.
Yes.
From 4A clear down to Class B. Check it out. ParagonTV.com, Big Elk TV. Radio stations for some of that as well. Merit Plan.
Correct.
They're playing Arapahoe. That's right. Great. Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun girls game. Fun boys game.
Yes.
Big Elks with Sayre coming to town. Is this the battle of Beckham County?
Oh.
It's not annual, though. That's the problem.
No.
Can we build up a name for something that only happens since 2009, which was shocking that it happened then? I was thinking like the 80s before Dakota informed us that he got his tail whipped back in 2009.
Is that what happened?
Listen, that's what he said.
I didn't know the result. We just knew what
he said.
Do you know what happened? He said that's what happened?
Yep.
So you're quoting here?
Yes.
Okay.
Go back through the list of texts.
Okay. Well, we get a lot, so I'm just making sure.
You can even choose his name right there. Anyhow, 225-9698. How do you want to change? Do you want to change over? Some people don't want to change it. Some people are of the mind that if you're going to complain, if you're the Bills and you want to complain about not getting the ball in overtime, don't let it go to overtime. Stop them in 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. And I have a theory about this overtime thing and everybody griping about not getting the ball. I think it may even go clear back to green ribbons. Participation ones.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started. 225-9698.
We got to leave enough time for Coach to talk. We can't.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be a fun day. Jared, how was your night last night?
Oh, it was all right. Nothing out of the ordinary. Kid had a practice, and that was it. Nothing really to watch on TV. You know, no Monday Night Football for first time in a while.
You know,
I didn't really watch anything. Just hung out with the kiddos. Again, kid had the practice, and we were preparing for a tournament this weekend. So we had a parents meeting about that. And I want to give a big shout out to Coach Ridling, because her husband volunteered her to sing the national anthem before the championship games on Sunday.
Oh, my. Are we going to please video that?
He even wrote
that?
It down on the volunteer list, national anthem, Coach
now,
Ridling.
Do we have any idea if she can actually sing?
No, she might just go up there and press play on something.
I'm going to need you to video this. This may be the breaking news on Monday.
I think he's just trying to rile her up. But
did it work?
Oh, she wasn't there. He was volunteering
for
her.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. Because we need volunteers like to run the scoreboard and the book, and we're alternating it where parents who kids aren't playing, they're going to be working and vice versa. So that's what we were doing. And Coach Ridling's husband, Ryan's like, hey, well, who's singing the national anthem? I'm like, well, I guess your wife could. Like, okay, and you write it down. And he said, let me take a picture of this and make sure we get the schedule due. So, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. It's for a good cause, too, by the way.
What is it?
Coach Bingham, softball coach over at Canute, his little boy, having some, I won't dive too much into it, a little medical stuff. So, all the money raised here is going to go to their family, help them out. So, come on out. Want to watch some basketball. I know there's a lot of area teams in it. Top of my head, and I'm sure we'll get a text here in a little bit. I know there's going to be a Merritt team.
How old?
And well, there's third graders, second and third graders, and fifth and sixth grade. Okay. So, a lot of area teams. I know Thomas is coming. They're bringing a team. Burns Flat's bringing a team. Merritt's bringing a team. Elk City bringing a team.
Girls.
So, all girls. It's an all-girl tournament. Pool play Saturday. First game's at 9. Last game, I think, is like at 8 o'clock at night. And then go at it again on Sunday with bracket play. Anyways.
Well, fantastic.
That'll be our weekend. But all for a good cause. There's a lot of good causes happening in Canute this weekend. So come on out. We encourage people to come on out and check it out.
That's a good segue, Jared, because I see this piece of paper right here in front of me. And that if you're going to go over there on Saturday and watch your children play basketball or watch your grandchildren or just want to go watch basketball on Saturday at Canute, little kids, go over there all day long. But be sure and stay until 6 p.m., a benefit night for Paul Warnke. He's in the fight. His fight is our fight. Come help us fight with Paul Warnke. 6 to 10, friends, pub, and pizza on Saturday. 40% of all food and drinks ordered from 6 to 10 will go directly to Paul and his family, help cover medical and travel expenses. And if that's not enough to get you there, Tyler Wilhelm, acoustic 7 to 9, all at the same time. Donations can also be given if you don't want to. If you're still adhering to your New Year's resolution of trying to be healthy, first off, Friends has great salad.
They do.
Great salad.
I think taco pizza could be a
big A salad.
Item. The big A, yes. Good job. Yeah, they got a lot of food options. But I promise you, I have a feeling that you might want to get there early because I got a feeling it's
going to be packed.
It's going to be packed. Prepare to wait for food, but that's
here's
not,
the
know.
Deal. Get there at 3:30, and watch the first football game. No, it's Sunday. Never mind.
Oh,
this is Saturday.
This yeah.
You can't do that.
Well. Get there early anyways. And hang out. If you and again, if you're – I was saying this earlier on – if your favorite food isn't there or they're out or, you know, don't get mad with them because you know why, because a whole bunch of people are ordering food for this good cause. You can just still donate too, you know. So be a busy time in Canute on Saturday. Encourage everyone to come on out. And, you know, you can feel good knowing every dollar you spent both at the tournament and at Friends is going to – couple of really good families.
Correct.
Yep.
All right. Coach Maynard on his way. I'm getting updates.
Awesome.
It's almost like Hunt is giving me like foot by foot as he drives down the road.
That's funny. Hey, I have a full list of the games tonight on Paragon.
Do that, and then I'll let you be the czar afterwards.
Oh, okay. You mentioned Elk City Sayre.
Elk City Sayre.
Leedy, Shattuck, Cheyenne, Fargo Gage Fort Supply, Merritt Arapaho, and Canute Fort Cobb. Those are the games happening tonight. Start on Paragon TV, click on your favorite school, and you're good to go.
I believe today, if I'm not mistaken, today is the day of bracket release.
That today?
I think it's today.
I think you're right. I thought it was Friday for some reason.
No, it's a Tuesday. Friday is the pairings. Tuesday right. is the bracket.
Right.
If I remember right. So we might be able to see actual brackets of times for A and B. Mm. And then this week is the last week for 2A through 4A for games to matter. And then come Monday,
the
rankings are locked.
Locked in.
Then next Friday, we'll have the reveal of the playoff pairings.
There you go.
Important, important, important next couple of days for the Big Elks and the Elkettes. They've done a good job here in the last couple of weeks of piling up some wins. Elkettes are actually above 500 at 8-6. The boys are 5-8. They both, doing my stuff last night. Elkettes have won 5 of 6. The Elks have won 4 of 6. So kind of trending the right direction. If the Elkettes specifically could find a way to win these next three, now listen, that's a hard ask.
Yeah.
You're talking about beating Sayre, beating Blanchard, and beating Weatherbury. That's a hard ask.
Yeah.
But if they could figure out a way to do that, could Elk City possibly host district? Golly, 11-6? At that point, the Elkettes might be in the top 20.
Yeah. Look pretty good.
For my personal taste, let's hope it happens. It's not traveling. But I think at the end of the day.
Where do you think you would go, though? I mean, I don't think it'd be that far, do you think?
For district, at least? That's a great question. It's been Kingfisher the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Which meant you're in bad shape. Like, the worst team.
Right.
Essentially, because you're playing the best team. In the bracket, I don't think that's anywhere near the case this year with the record, with winning record for the girls. If the Big Elks could sneak a win or two, you know, you're right there at 500.
Could they be going 30 miles east?
Weatherford Clinton, Cash seem to be a kind of
that
a,
would be a pretty,
kind of the boys are better than the girls. Our girls have a better record than the boys,
right,
something
right,
like that.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's something in that neighborhood, but it's not going to be having to face the 8-time defending state champion Kingfisher in district, I don't think.
I think that might be in the clear.
I think so, too.
I think you're all right in that regard.
Hey, let's take a break.
Awesome.
Our guest is here. Coach Hunt's been informing me every half inch that he drives his car down this way.
Man, Coach Hunt, kind of a
bald guy.
Keeping a thumb on him, man.
Yeah, kind of. Sorry about him being your boss, Coach. Joining us now inside the kind of burgundy room is the brand new head football coach of Elk City Football, Mr. Zach Maynard. Coach, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You've been on the staff, came here from Watonga.
Correct.
Tell us kind of what you've done as far as your job so far. And what you've been a part of with Elk City Football leading into you being announced as the head coach?
Oh, basically, just been the defensive coordinator. Ran the defense, ran defensive practice, you know, really whatever Coach Meadows wanted me to do. And that was kind of what they brought me in for. And so that's what I've been doing.
What is your background? Where you come from? Where'd you go to school? All that stuff that led you here to Elk City.
Well, my dad coached at Hobart in the 80s and 90s. We moved when I was a sophomore to Davis. Ended up graduating from Davis. And played 2 years of ball at NEO and 2 years over at Southwestern. Then I was the defensive coordinator right out of college at Hobart for a year. And then ended up at Watonga for the previous four, and then now I'm here for this year. And really, you know, Coach Roof coached my dad at Northwestern back in the day, and so I have a good relationship with Coach Roof, and I used to help him when I was at Southwestern do his weights over at Weatherford. And really, that's kind of how I heard about this deal, and just how I ended up here pretty much.
When you say Coach Roof, you're talking Woody?
Yes, sir. Yes.
The real Coach Roof.
Yes, yes.
Whoa. So, I mean, football's in your blood. I mean, you grew up with your dad being a football coach and played football, and it's totally in you.
Absolutely.
What do you like about it? What, as far as just being on the coaching side of it, what do you get out of being able to be out there with those kids? What's your favorite part of all of it?
Well, I think the best part of football as a coach, and I learned a lot of this from my dad and even my granddad. My granddad coached for a long time over at Burns Flat basketball. But the best part about being a coach is not really what you get out of this year. It's the reward you see in 10 years or, 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is, and that our kids are good fathers, good husbands. Ultimately, that's what we want to happen. We want our kids to be good fathers and good husbands. And to do that, that means that they've got to be great men and great young men. And in my opinion is that if you have a bunch of great young men, you're going to win a lot of football games. And I think that football is the perfect sport to teach kids how to do that thing, how to be accountable, how to be disciplined, how to work hard, how to be tough mentally and physically, and all the things that I think are great characteristics for men to be as well. So, ultimately, the best part about this job is not really what happens today or yesterday, but what's going to happen in the future.
So how do you go about getting that out of those guys now, building it for the future for them later?
Well, I think, Coach Meadows obviously was very passionate about 6 a.m. weights. And as time goes on, you start thinking about what 6 a.m. weights means. And it doesn't just mean that we're working hard at 6 a.m. to win football games. I mean, obviously, we're doing that. And everybody across the state in some way, shape, or form are doing things very similarly. But when you start demanding kids to get up at 6 a.m. 3 days a week, you're teaching them accountability. You're teaching them discipline. You're teaching them, how to work hard for something that may or may not ever happen. And so I think that those things are Coach Meadows set a great foundation for what that means. And I think that just those things that you demand from kids that are bigger than winning and losing football games. And I something that I know, a lot of coaches talk about those things. Everybody in our profession really talks about those things. And I want to make sure that it's the forefront of our football program, that we're going to have great integrity, great character. We're going to play the game the right way, and we're going to be very physical and tough. And I think that if you do those things, you got a chance to win a lot of football games.
You hear, say, from Brent Venables,
yeah,
taking the job at OU, he's got the tutelage of a Bill Snyder and, mm-hmm, and Coach Stoops, and then obviously with Dabo Swinney as well. You've got that same line with all those different guys. What do you take, or do you try to take something from each of those, or mm-hmm, do you pattern yourself after your dad or your granddad, or how does that go in your mind?
Well, one guy I hadn't talked about who it's funny because I look at him like probably a lot of people around here look at Coach Roof, was my Coach Weber. And it's funny because he texts me on every – we talk probably once a month on the phone, and he calls me friend, and I'm like, we're not friends. You're like, you're on another level. We're not, we can't be friends. But no, there's lots of things that I take from him, and funny story. When we first got to Davis, we were going through summer weights, and he pulled me aside one day and said, Hey Maynard, you really work hard. You're really doing good things, but you've got to change something for me. And he said, you got to quit saying yeah. It was very important in that culture that we said yes. Then he said, you didn't have to say yes, sir. But you got to say yes. It's just the way we do things. Yes and no. We don't say nah or nay or whatever. It's yes or no. And he said, do you understand me? And I said, yeah.
So maybe not yet.
Not yet. I said, oh, and a big apology. But there's lots of things that from a cultural standpoint, Coach Weber always said, we built a fence around this place and we do things like we used to do them. And I think that that's important that we get back to, as a society even, get back to those roots of, here's how we do things because this is the right way to do them. There's no shortcuts. This is who we are. And so there's lots of things like that I'm going to implement, and that Coach Meadows has really already implemented for the most part. So we're just going to stay the course and continue to try to build great character in young men, and win a lot of football games.
You kind of laid it out, but lay out your vision of Big Elk football moving forward.
Well, I mean, it's funny, but, you know, Venables, I listened to his deal at the basketball game the other night. Great integrity. We're going to play with integrity. We're going to play with class, and we're going to be physical and tough. And I just think that that's the only real way to be a great football team, and to be proud of a football team. There's teams that go 14-0 and win state titles, and that's the highlight of those kids' lives. And I think that if we were to go 14-0 next year and win a state championship, and that was the highlight of any of our kids' lives, then I have epically failed. And so I think that we've got to get them and put them in places where, yes, we're going to go do great things. We'll have great memories, whether it be a state championship or a state semifinals team or whatever it is. And it's awesome, great year. But because of what we did here, we've put you on a trajectory to be great husbands, fathers, people, employers, employees, people with high character.
It's funny you say that because Coach Roof was the coach when I was a senior in high school when that state title went on the board out there with J-Mac and all the rest of those guys. And when you look at what's happening now in those lives, mm-hmm. that wasn't the end.
Right.
So how did, is it a chicken and the egg thing, or was it built then for guys to not only succeed on the football field, but also end up succeeding in life because of what the lessons they learned as young men playing a sport and reaching something higher than what was for themselves?
Right. I think, you know, the old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. And I'm by no means saying that I want to come in and be every kid's father. That's not the goal, but to be an influential leader or influential part of that kid's life, I feel like it's my duty to make sure that I don't just teach them how to make a tackle or how to run the football or how to throw the football or catch it, but how to teach them things that will ultimately help them in the game of life. And that's really our whole entire staff stance. That was Coach Meadows' stance. He wanted these guys to be better in 10 years than they were today because of something that he did or something that we did as a staff collectively. And so I think ultimately it takes all of us. It's going to take the community. It's going to take every teacher in the high school and junior high and middle school in which we've got great people in place. But as far as making sure that the highlight is not high school football, it's going to take every single one of us.
Not to get too much George from Hoosiers in the barbershop scene, but what do you envision as far as the way your team is going to play offensively, defensively? You know, Coach Meadows mm-hmm. obviously had a different style than just about anybody outside of Clinton as far as just running the football and being tough like that. Is that something you incorporate also, or do you have maybe mix some of that in with something different, you know, offensively?
It's really kind of funny. You know, me and Coach Meadows are – age-wise are different, obviously. But my philosophy offensively is really not a whole lot different. Of course, we want to be very multiple and do some different things formationally. But as far as, hey, we're going to run the football right at you, and we're going to test how bad you really want to come in here and stand toe-to-toe, that's not going to change. We want to impose our will on people, and we want to make people – for all intents and purposes, get into a phone booth and say, okay, let's get in here and let's go toe-to-toe in here and let's just see how big and bad you are. So as far as that philosophy goes, me and Coach Meadows are really on the same page there. But, yes, well, offensively, we will also do some different things as far as, some different screen stuff and getting the ball in a little bit more space at times. But as far as just, hey, it's 3rd and 2, we're running our best play, I don't know that it'll be too much different than what we probably saw this year.
What did you notice from the time you came in till the end of this season as far as a growth from the team itself?
The best part about this year, in my opinion, and what really makes teams very successful is just continuing to get better every week. When we first went out there the first day of fall, I was worried. I was going, oh, boy. But we just continually got better, and then we played Pampa. and was which was a phenomenal win for us to start the year and got the ball rolling, really, from a momentum standpoint. Got us some belief in us and really helped us, I think, propelled us into the rest of the non-district and even into district play. But I think the most thing that I love the most out of this year is that the two games that we lost in the regular season, we didn't fold the tent. We got beat by Bethany, and we didn't play very well. And we come back, we go back to work. And then we go win some several games and win them in a very satisfying fashion. And then we go play Clinton and, for all intents and purposes, don't play very well. That's week nine. And so now it's going, oh, boy. Well, we go play Newcastle and win in great fashion. And then it's just – We started rolling, and the kids continued to get better, and we were exponentially better from the time we played Clinton the first time to the time we played them the second time, and you know, hats off to Clinton, they had a great year, but we did everything we could possibly do to put ourselves in a position to be successful, and ultimately, that's all you can ask. But that was one thing that I really realized is that we got better from week 12 to week 13, so. It's very impressive to me.
How much, speaking of Clinton, came off of the loss in the title game last year, and we talked to their radio guy numerous times throughout the season, and he talked about that's all they talk about, is that loss propelling them to where they got this year. Absolutely. Is that score out there in the weight room here?
We'll leave that confidential. How about that?
Because I remember back as our junior year getting beat in the finals by them. It was plastered all over the walls in that field house.
Absolutely.
And you had to stare at it for an entire year. And how much motivation does that give the guys coming back to not have that feeling as they did in that semifinal loss?
I would say there's lots of motivation in our kids and really, honestly, in all sports. Even if you go watch the basketball games, they're playing hard. Boys and girls are play hard. You can never fault them for not playing hard. And that goes on to those coaches for doing what they're doing. But I think there's a lot of motivation. For instance, when that game was over and we go to, you know, last 3 weeks of school, there's kids wanting to get in the weight room right now. And usually we just wait till after Christmas break and then get back in there. And so we started lifting weights in December. For those who wanted to come. And now, you know, we've probably got 35, 40 kids up there every morning, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 a.m. who are, you know, coming back. And that's really all of them besides the incoming freshmen. So I think there's a lot of excitement. I think our community is excited. And really that's a big part of it. You know, going back even to last year, when I walked out there for the Pampa game and looked at the crowd, I said, this don't look like a place that – is 3-25 in the last 3 years. So I think that there's a hunger for it here. And like I said, it will eventually take all of us.
What about your family? Tell us about your young guy.
Yes.
Very young guy. And you had a buddy in NEO, Hunter. I mean, that's a tough break for
yes.
you, but no, seriously, tell us about your family. And
my wife, Amy, she works over at Southwestern. You know, we live here in town, and I've got a 4-year-old Max and a 1-year-old Major, and so we love it here. My wife loves it. We've made some good friends down there, and our kids love it, and our neighbors got young kids, and we just enjoy it.
We won't hold her being from Weatherford against you.
Yeah.
Jared, you got anything? Questions you want to ask Coach?
Off air.
Okay. Man, thank you so much. I know we've been playing phone tag like we were junior high
Absolutely.
Kids there a little bit. And Coach Hunt had to be Coach Hunt. And sorry about working for him, by the way, but that's just the way it goes.
No, he's
here.
Great people.
Thanks so much for joining us. I can't – the excitement level you're right about. This town is hungry to watch good football. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, there's no better place in the world. They get behind you like they did this year. And you guys were awesome. For us, it was so much more fun to
Absolutely.
Do that instead of the other. And we just we can't thank you enough for coming down. Anything you need, to get your program on the air and out the air, we're right here for you. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Head coach Zach Maynard of the Big Elk football program. Can't wait to see what happens. Get it going. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll ask Coach off the air how he would change over time in the NFL, or would he? Big Elk football coach Zach Maynard. Thanks so much. Thanks again to Coach Zach Maynard. Man, I listened to him. I told you yesterday. I listened to him at the banquet, the football banquet, and he wasn't officially the head coach, although I think a lot of people in that crowd had an idea.
Right.
But you get that feeling of, I want to, like I said, he even gets me out of my seat to want to think about running through the wall, which is a pretty good accomplishment for me these days. So you can get, and I love to hear him talk about the motivation that loss gives, and those guys wanting to be in the weight room and wanting to work and start now. Not wait. Not a couple weeks off. Get going now. I love that.
Yeah.
And I joke around about Coach Hunt, and he's my bud and all that. But I think you start seeing when you surround yourself with people that are like you, and that's what he reminds me of, of Hunt. Just that attitude, the family atmosphere, yet work your butt off to be good about it.
Yes.
I love that. I mean, that's why Hunt's one of my best friends in the world right now, even though I was a player for him.
Right.
Because I appreciate that attitude. And I think his players and staff, and they appreciate it too. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts.
Overly impressed. You know, the program is in good hands. There's always that leery feeling when it's being handed off to the next head man. You know, will it continue? Will, you know, there's a lot of success this year, and now it's handed off. Will it continue? And I think after that, and I had no doubt. I mean, you wouldn't hand the keys to the program to just anybody. So, and like you said about Coach Hunt, he knows who he's looking for, and as a staff, as the leaders of the school, they knew who they were looking for. I'm that leery feeling's gone. I'm overly impressed with how he's going to be able to take that momentum that was built this past season and move it forward. I truly believe that, and I know there's going to be a lot of seniors contributed to this past season, and they're moving on, obviously. But as soon as that clock was 0-0-0 at Swazoo, we were saying, man, now that base has been laid, that feeling of that proud Big Elk football tradition is back, and I think we got the right guy to continue that momentum with the guys that are returning to the program. I mean, talking about it without even being asked, these kids are already jumping in the weight room. You know, the ones that are coming back, I mean, that's awesome. So overly impressed, and it is what it takes. It's not just spring camp and fall camp and then you're ready to go. You gotta stay committed to it.
Well, and kudos to the kids, because listen, you can be the greatest coach of all time, but you can't do it for them.
Yeah.
Now, the secret sauce is figuring out a way to let them to make them want to do it for themselves.
Exactly.
And I know he would never say this, but I know good and well he was a huge part of keeping that team going to start. Huge part of it, because the guys had faith in him as the defense coordinator, the new guy on the block, what have you. They had faith in him, and I know he is a big part of getting that thing.
Yeah.
As a supplement to what Coach Meadows is doing. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting. Really is, because he honestly reminds me so much of little Hunt, like a young Hunt. And I know what the success that Coach Hunt was able to.
Yes.
To do. All right.
Yeah.
His idea, we actually asked Coach off the air.
Yeah.
To be the czar of the NFL. He said his idea for the overtime is start at the 45, both teams get a possession, which means you got to gain some. I mean, 63-yard field goal, it's made. It's also been the record forever. But you got to get some yards, even if you don't get a first down, to have a legitimate shot at a field goal.
Right.
What say you?
That was on my mind, was something similar to the call, because that seemed like that was the answer to this question, since Sunday was, college overtime is better than NFL overtime. I mean, in theory, yes, but, the college game even just changed up their overtime rules about when you go for two and you only go for two. And look at the marathon we had. What was it? Was it Penn State and Illinois?
Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that thing went on and on and on and on.
It was like an eight.
To the point.
Eight two-point tries apiece or something like that.
To the point, it looked like sloppy football. But I liked what he brought. What Coach Maynard said was, what do we say, start him at the 45 and go from there. So, and both teams get a shot at it. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, not me.
Now the question is that, then to get to the nuts and bolts of it, like, okay, score a touchdown, in the first overtime, kick the extra point. When do you start going for two? Do you immediately start doing that to try to create that advantage or hurry this thing up? I don't know. But as far as equal possession and equal opportunity, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I think that's what you got to do. Something like the college game has.
But
then the NFL can tweak it how they see it.
Why not just play another quarter?
Well, what if it ties?
Then it's sudden death after that.
Then,
if you don't want 15 minutes, then knock it down to 10. I mean, all the other, the NBA or the college, they shorten the clock.
You want enough time
for both to
get the ball. And then you're going to hear the.
And if somebody goes on a 10-minute drive and they kick a field goal at the end of the game, about your luck.
That's on the
stop
defense.
Them in 10
yeah,
minutes.
Stop them. And someone's going to start screaming, but wait a minute, these are playoffs. What if I lose my star running back to a knee injury with 2 minutes left in this extended period?
Then lose the game.
Yeah.
Then lose the game and don't be there. I mean, the problem I have the way overtime is not it's different than the game. The rules aren't the same.
No, it changes how you call the game.
Well, you know what it takes away? It takes away, to me, one of the most essential parts of football, and that is the clock. There's very few times in overtime where clock management matters.
Yeah.
It takes that away. Whereas if you just want to play a 10-minute period, if you don't want to do the full 15, that's fine by me, but do 10. And that's enough time to where any capable defense can either get scored on or stop the other team to give your offense a chance. And then, by the way, how many times do we see in regulation where a team has to go 75 yards in a minute and a half? If your defense give up an 8.5-minute drive, okay, whatever. You still got a minute and a half. Do you save your timeouts? The strategy of the end of the game is still there. If you're playing a period of time.
Yeah.
And to me, any Dallas Cowboy or Green Bay Packer fan knows one of the biggest detriments of having Mike McCarthy as your coach is his inability to manage the clock. But that brings that out again. Not just, hey, this team scored. It's interesting. I was looking at some stats yesterday. I saw the research from the NFL. Since 2010, when these rules were changed, in the regular season, the team that wins the toss in overtime,
yeah,
has won the game 52% of the time. That's it, 52%. There was 86 wins, 67 losses, and 10 ties. So you put those 86 out of 70 out of 153, 63, 86 out of 163, the team that won the toss won the game. So that seems fairly neutral, right? It's a big old sample size over 11 and a half years now of play. But here's the problem. You know what the record is in overtime in the playoffs of the team that wins the toss?
What is it?
10-1.
That's
7 of the 11, they went right down and scored. So it's not nearly as large a sample size, obviously. But I just, to me, that accomplishes both things. if you give 10 minutes, you're still playing the game.
Right.
It's like the fourth quarter. And you have the opportunity for both teams to touch it. And if you and listen, and if you can't, if you're the defense and you can't get off the field in 10 minutes, I don't want to hear you crying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because that is – you don't see 10-minute drives hardly ever. And if you can't figure out a way to keep that from happening
– That's on you,
then
bro.
That's on you. Yeah. There's no – man, they hit a big play and got the toss. Listen, the toss is irrelevant if you can't make a stop at 10 dadgum minutes.
I agree.
With the 2-minute warning and, two timeouts or whatever it would be. I just think that, to me, that – continues the game the way the game is played, and the clock matters, you know, and hell, it might be 21-0 in overtime if one team scores a touchdown, gets a pick six, and all. I mean, but that's just you don't quit, because you don't quit in the fourth quarter of a regular game. In regulation, the Bucks didn't quit down 27-3 with 8 minutes going in the third.
Right.
You know, anything can happen, as we obviously saw this weekend. So if you want to change it, to me, I'm with that. Just play another – not the whole quarter. I don't even need you to play the whole quarter. Just play 10 minutes. And then we don't have to listen to this team didn't get the ball. And if this team didn't get the ball, it's because they gave them – I mean, in all intents and purposes, a 13-minute drive, because you got two timeouts and the warning. Sorry. Stop somebody, for goodness sakes.
You know who's loving everybody yelling, the other team didn't get the ball, it's not fair, it's not fair? The defensive coordinator who didn't stop the team.
Yeah, he doesn't have to own up to the fact that he gave up 44 yards in two plays.
Everyone's kind of overlooking the fact
seconds.
That I could not stop him.
Leslie Frazier. I know his name.
Oh, boy.
What are you guys' ideas? 225-9698. Drew is blowing us up, both on our own phones, on the text line, with Sean Payton. Is there a real chance Sean Payton is the coach of the Cowboys next year?
I don't know. I haven't seen.
I mean, he's way more up on it than we are, promise you. I mean, he may have his Cowboys boxer shorts on his head as we speak.
There's always been that connection there.
Well, he's there.
He's
with Parcells before he went to New Orleans.
Right, and even when he went to New Orleans, I think he always kept a house in Dallas or in the Metroplex area. And help me, was he from the area originally, like growing up, or I don't know his history. So there's always been that speculation that he has always wanted to be the head coach at Dallas. And I don't think he has ever come out and said that. You know, why would he? He's the head coach of New Orleans Saints. He won a Super Bowl there. He had Drew Brees, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
big question for me is how much is left in the tank for him? I mean, he's done enough.
He's 58 years old.
58.
Which is crazy that he's still that young, because he's been a coach forever.
Still seems like older than that. But
he became the Saints coach in 2006. He has zero connection to the Metroplex area as far as before he got there. I mean, he's from Illinois, went to college at Eastern Illinois. The only time he's spent in Dallas was from 03 to 05 as a quarterback's coach and an assistant head coach before he got there. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't like a local or anything like that.
Okay.
Now, he's been a fantastic head coach in this league. There's no doubt about that. And to me, a clear upgrade, if it were to happen, over Mike McCarthy. Just in the simple fact of what I just said earlier about man, I mean, you never really see or hear the golly, Peyton mismanaged that clock, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that happens. Part of that is because he's had Drew Brees as his quarterback for basically the entire time he's been a head coach, sans the last 2 years, and that helps.
Yeah, I mean, could he be wanting to get to a more stable situation in the quarterback position? I mean, does he see Dak as a guy like, okay, I can go there, he's the guy, I can win with this guy? You know, where New Orleans is still kind of in that shift between
Drew Brees and
whoever their next guy is going to be. They still really don't know who that is just yet. I don't know. I mean, it's intriguing, but I haven't seen a lot of traction to it. If there was going to be a coaching move in Dallas, I mean, wouldn't you start from within?
No.
You wouldn't look at
Boy Wonder? You kidding me?
Or Dan Quinn?
I've seen Dan Quinn. He blows Super Bowls at 28-3.
At least he got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true, too. By the way, shout out Dakota. Already whining about having to play a road Super Bowl again. I'm so sorry, Dakota.
Oh, boy.
The Chiefs are going to play in their third straight
Super
Bowl.
It must be rough.
I feel so sorry for you.
Man.
I really don't.
How sorry is – I mean, that is so rough, having actually a team in the Super Bowl to root for.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the same argument can be made, and we probably made it about – it seemed like every time Oklahoma was in the BCS title game, it was always a road game.
Oh, yeah.
At Florida against Florida, at LSU, and the Sugar. I mean, I get it, but it's the Super Bowl. And you're whining to a bunch of Dallas Cowboy fans that haven't been there since 1995. It's not going to fly.
Sorry, we're not sorry. We're not feeling sorry for you. Oh, boy. Must be rough to be a Chiefs fan nowadays. You know what Sean Payton has going for him, though?
What's that?
He's had a movie made about him.
What?
Yeah, Kevin James plays him. Kevin James.
You're talking about
Paul Blart Paul himself Blart? Plays Sean Payton in a movie. It's on Netflix, right? Or it's coming up, like 3 days, I think.
What?
Yeah, look it up. It's ridiculous. He looks nothing like Sean Payton. It's based on a true story when Sean Payton was he suspended for like a year? Because of the
the Bounty Gate
Bounty
stuff.
Gate, and so what did he do? He went and coached his son's football, Pee Wee football team. So it's like from the same production company that made Happy Gilmore and The Waterboy.
Yeah, 2012. He was suspended from the NFL, and he coached at Argyle, Texas, as the offense coordinator.
Yeah.
For his son Connor's sixth grade team.
Well, they made a movie about it. And Kevin James plays Sean Payton.
I don't see it, man. I'm not going
to. You don't see it.
I'm not going to tell you who should be Sean Payton in a movie, but I can tell you who shouldn't. And his name is Kevin James. Kevin James.
This came out a few weeks ago. I'm surprised you haven't seen it, because then I've seen list of like every NFL coach who should play them in a movie with like the actor, and they did like side-by-side pictures and it worked for a lot of them. I can't remember. I'd have to find that list. I think it was Bleacher Report that did it. Not Bleacher Report, Barstool that did it. And it was funny. But Kevin James was not on that list for anybody.
I mean, maybe Bruce Arians. Somebody like that.
Oh, I have to find that list.
Oh, this is intriguing. Let's see.
Yeah,
who was Belichick? You know who reminds me of what would be Belichick?
Who's that?
The Emperor. With the hoodie on his head.
Yes.
Whoever that is.
Yes.
Same demeanor.
We're out of time, but I have to find that.
We're not out of time till I say we're out of time, Jared. All right, run down the schedule again for tonight.
Oh.
Hoops.
I got to bring that back up. I'm sorry.
I'll be right here.
Elk Sayre, I know that. Mm-hmm. Elk City Sayre, that's happening.
Merritt Arapahoe
is happening. Canute's hosting Fort Cobb tonight. Also, Leedy Shattuck, Cheyenne, Fargo Gage, Fort Supply. That's all of them. And again, my motto is it all starts on Paragon TV. Just go to Paragon TV. You got a list of your schools. Click on which school you want to watch. About a 6:15 pregame for everybody, 6:30 tip. And keep in mind, you know, we're getting towards the end of the year, so a lot of senior nights happening. I think some of these might be streaming as well.
Yeah, Elk City's Saturday or Friday. No, Friday's homecoming. The next week is senior night.
Oh, you're getting it all in there.
I take that back.
All right.
Maybe Tuesday or Friday. I can't remember.
Cool.
Everyone have a great day. Thank you again to Coach Maynard for stopping by.
Good stuff.
Very good stuff. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.